Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma.
Well, and we thank all of you for joining us tonight. Looking forward to a good program. And so, gentlemen, I'll let you know when your callers call in, and we'll be standing by and looking forward to rejoice with you and learn a little bit.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sure appreciate it. Well, we do welcome everybody to tonight's broadcast, Hope is Alive, the show about testimony, the show about those who have been set free from evil spirits, demonic oppression, and been healing, all in the name of Jesus. If you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com is a website that's set up. That's just about all the training you can need, all the answers that you need as far as the prayers that we talk about. If you want to contact us, you can contact us at info@deliveranceusa.com, and we will get back to you. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you need that, and he'll get it out to you. Greetings, Pastor Cox. How are you this evening?
Well, I am blessed, and I've heard that about you.
I am blessed.
Well, we serve the same God, amen? And we are
amen.
So blessed.
A living
High
God
adventure.
Who answers and cares for us, yes. A living God who answers and cares for us and cares so much that he gave us a helper called the Holy Spirit, and that helper does not leave us unarmed. He guides us, directs us, gives us power, gives us comfort. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is just a wonderful gift from our Lord, and most of what you hear about on this show are people operating in that authority with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Holy Spirit is a power so on earth today. Well, we had 13 cases Monday night, Ralph, and a minister for each. It was a great evening, a typical Monday evening at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City, 35 years into these Monday nights, and I, well, the 13 that came, 10 were there for the first time. We had two from Seattle, one from Ohio, and they're just a typical, I can't believe it's gone all these years. And what amazes me, how there's so many new people that come each time. You know, it's not like a church where you have a congregation coming each time. These are new people every week, for the most part. Some have to come back and get some more ministry. Everybody's a little different in their complications in life, and some need, or more complicated than others, so some need ministry more than once. But it went very well. I had an interesting case. Got the head demon up, and it was rather loud, and facial features were most amazing. It was a spirit of hate. Had I've forgotten how many demons under its authority, but it disclosed the top 10 lies it was telling this person in their head, which is typical in all Christians. These negative lies of things like, nobody loves me, I'm a failure, I'll never be able to do this or that. Negative stuff. And the demon admitted the opposite was the truth, but it was doing a job on him, it said. And it gave his gifts. He was loaded with God-given gifts as well. Finally cast him out. Well, as usual, he looked wonderful. There's no way you wouldn't feel and look better after having that kind of stuff removed. It's kind of a spiritual surgery, you know. And when it's gone, it's the real person that's left. So praise God. It's exciting. I haven't had a chance. I did text with him, but I haven't had a chance to really find out how he's doing. There's no way he wouldn't be better, of course.
Oh, I know. I know. Two people from Seattle. I guess word's getting out.
Oh, and this lady from Seattle. Oh, my goodness. During the teaching and preparation, I kept looking at her because she was an older lady, I would guess maybe in her 60s or 70s at least. And she was so stern looking and just a little bit like a zombie. She was watching me, but there was never any emotion shown. Her mouth did move in the door closing prayer, but it was just a stern, sad, beaten down look. And the lady I put with her, I'd already finished my case, and when she came down, I was out there in the hallway. When she came down, she was laughing. She was just overflowing with joy, and it didn't look like the same person at all. And of course, she looked younger, and it was just an amazing change. So praise God, that keeps us going. I even had one today and got the head demon up again. It was pornography in this case. And, of course, it went well, the same kind of basic stuff. And had eight demons under its authority. And this guy, of course, again, there's no way he wouldn't be better. And he said he felt better, of course. So I'll be following up on them in a few days and see how they're doing, which I know will be good. More high adventure, Ralph.
Yes, yes. I was thinking of when you're telling the testimony of the lady from Seattle in the audience. I mean, that's not the first time you've given something like that. We know what's causing that. Those spirits, those demonic spirits that are oppressing and affecting people, they know what's getting ready to come up if they go through that process, and they understand that when Christians walk in their authority, They have to flee. And so they're going to do whatever they can to try to keep them from getting through that. Especially the door closing prayer, because some of them may be leaving just through that door closing prayer. So that's not an uncommon testimony. See people come in just transformed and totally different people. You know, and the times that I've been there with deliverance, I haven't had the experience of doing a group where I can look over like that. But by the time they get to me there, they've already gone through the door closing prayer, so I don't even get to see how oppressed they look before they even get to me from the door closing prayer. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it's just absolutely amazing watching as they go through it, and they work on healing that trauma in their life, and they're healed. They're healed or delivered. And I was watching the movie Appalachian Dawn again today. It's just a fantastic, fantastic documentary on the transformation of what happened in Clay County, Kentucky. Highly recommend it. Pastor, if you haven't watched it, I'll try to get you a copy of it. It's just absolutely amazing. But when they were talking about addiction in there, they were talking about addiction they were trying to numb the hurt from trauma in their lives, and the people that were giving their testimonies had so much trauma in their lives at such a young age. One man talks about his drunken dad got upset at a dog and shot the dog in their bed with a shotgun while he was on one side of the dog and his sister's
on the other.
And this man's transformation that is on this documentary, it's everybody's testimony. The difference in him is just a wonderful, wonderful story. And it's just but the way they worded it is people aren't suffering. The drug addiction comes from unhealed trauma, I think is the way they referred to it. And how often have we seen that, Pastor, in deliverance? When you get someone to deal with that trauma, take them back with them, take Jesus back to them in that point of that trauma in their life, and they're able to move on. Jesus heals it right there. He takes the emotion, the feeling, and can stop it right there at the root cause. And so many times, right there at that root cause, demons have become enter into a person or just have that legal right from that point to torment them from that time on. And that trauma could be something like what that man went through, seeing his dog shot by his dad between him. To be in a storm.
That'd be a horrible.
I remember a testimony of we having someone on the show that was always scared of storms, and it went back to a time in his childhood. And from that time on, he was always scared of me. I don't know if you remember who it is, Pastor, but he talked about how he wouldn't even go out. He would watch the weather. If there was even a chance of thunder and lightning, he stayed home. And it paralyzed him. And that trauma was healed from when he was a child. And
yes,
it's just a wonderful thing.
And he even became a team leader.
Did he? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so if you have trauma in your life, it can be affecting you a lot more than you think so. And if you can, seek out deliverance. If you're unable to, ask the Lord to take you back to that moment. And when you're there, think about what you're feeling, whether it's fear, hatred, whatever it is. And if it's balled up, like Pastor says, take a spiritual hand and reach out and grab it. But hand it to our Lord and ask Him to heal you at that time. And when that happens, you just see a transformation of what goes on through there. I mean, it's like from that point on, their entire life, all that trauma is just gone.
Yes, that's, and of course, most everybody's had some traumas in their lives, and it's affected them in different ways. But who's escaped that? And so many are carrying the wounds, the bad feelings from those traumas that even happened as a child, and they're carrying them today as an adult. And our Jesus will supernaturally take them. And many demons, though, had entry during those traumas. That's the reason we go through that. And it's called inner healing. That's one of the steps that we do with people at Deliverance Ministries.
And it is so, so important. It really is so important for a successful ministry, because there's a root of unforgiveness, especially if that trauma was caused by somebody else. And you just have to get past that. We're commanded to forgive. Obviously, forgiving does not free the person who did the wrong from any wrongdoing, but it frees you. And it can free, because our Lord talks about anything you hold will be bound as well. So if you're bound in unforgiveness, it'll be bound upon them. And we're told that we're just told to do that. We're told to forgive. And it's not easy. There'll be times in your life where things happen to you and you probably have a rightful reason to be angry, but you can still be angry and forgive. Pastor, we have our first caller. Darla, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, Darla, I'm so glad you called in. And Darla, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and your experiences that you had and then what you've seen.
Okay. Well, I was born to a very modern white family, country people, mostly Baptist. Went to church with my grandparents, one set or the other, pretty much my whole childhood. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, funerals, weddings. My grandfather, on my mom's side was a Baptist preacher, so spent a lot of time, with them and got a lot of influence from them. I was actually, born again, accepted Jesus as my Savior officially at the age of 13. But backing up to about the age of 5, I was became associated with a couple of people through my godparents that there was their kids, and they were practicing witchcraft. I happened to be sexually molested by the son. He was about 17 or 18 years old, and he and his sister were practicing witchcraft at the time. I don't know if that had anything to do with the molestation, but I ended up snitching him out, and as a result, he and his sister placed a curse on me, and it was the curse was actually placed through a painting that was painted of me as a child in the summer of 1970. I sat for a college class that this particular witch was in this class, and she, as a result, ended up painting my picture, which is how she cast a spell on me. She happened to be my godparents' daughter, these two were, and long story short, my godmother ended up passing away, and my godfather remarried. The lady that he remarried had gone through some stuff in their attic and discovered a journal that happened to contain my name in it. Well, the lady's name was Sandy, and she ended up not being married to my godfather for very long, and they divorced, and she ended up marrying my dad after this, a few years later. And when we got to kind of talking about it, we figured out from the stories that she told me about finding the journals in the attic that I was the Darla that she was talking about. Now, as a result of this curse, I had a spirit of harlotry put on me, and the name that was given to this curse and to me was Dee. Well, ended up after a childhood of promiscuity, I ended up as an adult being a new dancer. I dabbled in with the Freemasons as a bartender. I had a very wild lifestyle, discovered drugs, was very, like I said, very promiscuous and had unnatural sexual behaviors. As a result, I ended up having 3 abortions. Just a bunch of stuff happened to me as a result, I believe, of this spell. And as a result of the other things that I dabbled in because of the spell, I believe that I opened some doors to allow more demons to come in to my life. And one of those demons happened to be a death wish. And with my second husband, I ended up several times in the hospital, and in October of 2007, he tried to kill me for sure this time, and I ended up just really beat up, almost dead, and he ended up going to prison and eventually got out of my life by going to prison. But backing up to about 2004, my house caught on fire, and the only real possession that was destroyed in this house fire was the painting that the witch D had painted of me. And I believe that through that, there was a change in the atmosphere, and I was able to start receiving prophecy through the Lord, and was told that the Lord was unhappy with the lifestyle that I'd been living. And so as a result of that, I really tried to tone it down and be more of what I thought God wanted me to do. But, you know, I didn't really know that there was a curse on me until about 2016, when I ended up visiting Deliverance Ministries for the first time, from a friend of mine that I worked with, invited me to go along, and I came along, and that's when I discovered that I did have a full-on curse that had been placed on me, just like my stepmom had told me from the journal, and she kind of confirmed that. I got confirmation through that, and through attending a service at Deliverance Ministry, I was able to get that curse lifted. And through the deliverance process, I participated in the group session, and I felt like I needed the individual treatment, and so I joined with one of the ministers who miraculously, you know, cast that curse out, and, you know, as well as the other spirits of the death wish and, you know, many other spirits that had plagued me for so many years. And I was able to be delivered from an addiction with marijuana that I'd had for 40 years. I was shortly thereafter able to really start applying my Christian life. Even though I'd been in and out of church for many, many years, which is probably the only thing that saved me during that whole time, I was able to eventually find a full-time church. Up until then, I'd pretty much just kind of bounced around denominations and church to church to church and never really got established. But in December of 2017, I began attending at the church that I go to now, Tri-City Worship Center. And now I'm cleaning the church every week, and I've been promoted by God and the ministers there to start handling their bookkeeping. And I really feel like I've gotten some promotions through God during this period of time. And I, as a result of going to Deliverance Ministries, I really felt that I had a calling to train and maybe join the ministry of Deliverance Ministries. And so this month, about 3 weeks ago, I started attending training classes with Everett and the group, and I've been privileged to sit in on 3 different sessions now, and have been able to actually put my training to use through ministering and counseling with other people that have found out that I'm doing this training, and there's just been a really overwhelming interest in what I'm doing. And so I've been able to really talk to a lot of people, and I'm really confident that I'm going to be able to get through the next 3 training sessions and eventually go one-on-one ministering with the Deliverance Ministry group. And it's a really exciting time in my life.
And Donna, the fact that you're learning about Deliverance, the more you show yourself approved, the Lord will start sending people to you. Sounds like he's already doing that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We actually, Everett, you and I sat in this past week with a gentleman that came in for individual counseling, and it was actually my first time to witness a full-on manifestation of demons. And we were successful in casting those out of this gentleman, and I can't wait to see the benefits that he's going to reap from that, and see how it's really helped him once he is able to kind of get out from under him, you know.
Why don't you share more of your impression on what happened in that case? The head demon came up. What were your impressions of all and seeing that?
Well, first of all, this young man, and I say young because he was in his mid-40s or so. I'm in my mid-50s, so I can say that. But he was a very, seems to be a very gentle-natured, handsome, intelligent, very gentle person. And after we started our interview process, we were able to learn that he was actually dealing with some anger issues. And along with his friend that brought him, we were able to call up the head demon that had been torturing Daniel for so long. And this demon happened to have the name of Hate. And he admitted that he had been terrorizing Daniel his whole life, and they had entered him through a generational curse, and had attacked his ancestors, as well as he was in the process of doing a real job on Daniel's kids too. This manifestation was a very extreme, dramatic experience, very similar to what you see on a horror movie, really. I don't know how many of the listeners have seen the movie Deliverance, or The Exorcism, or The Exorcist, I think it is, with Linda Blair, but, I mean, Daniel's head didn't spin around or anything, but, boy, he really was fighting physically to fight off these demons, it appeared. He was growling and hissing and having a hard time breathing, straining his arms. He was experiencing body aches and pains and trembling. It was just it was a very dramatic experience. I was very intrigued by it and very happy to be able to be a part of the deliverance that he received. Everett basically placed the Bible on Daniel's chest, and we called up the head demon to identify himself, and I placed the Bible on his back, and through the pressures of the sword of the, you know, the word, which is our sword, which is actually physically the Bible, we were able to call up that head demon, and that head demon's name was Hate. And he admitted that he'd been tormenting, you know, Daniel, and causing a lot of chaos in his life. And as well as the demon Hate, you know, we were able to call up another demon by the name of Bitterness that had, you know, also really just done a job on Daniel. And they were very intense, and Hate expressed the fear that he was going to lose his home, that being, you know, Daniel as a vessel, you know, for this demon. And he talked about how he missed the throne room of heaven, and which Daniel said that he had, you know, a lot of times seen visions in his head of the throne room of heaven, and had always just thought that it was just his, something that just popped up in his head. It was just his imagination. But, you know, in the end, after interrogating this demon, you know, we realized that it was actually the demon's memories, you know, of heaven that he was remembering.
Yeah.
And Daniel was actually, you know, seeing
fallen
things.
Angel. Mm-hmm. Fallen angel. He admitted he was. He'd never been cast out before, it said. You know, imagine how many people that demon had been in through the centuries. No telling how many it had been in, and then when the person dies, it comes out. And not the average head demon case, like the one I had today. It was just low key, the same voice, you know, and yet I found out all I needed to find out, and the lies and the gifts, and then finally blew them all away, and that's what we did with this one finally. But it was quite spectacular. Probably would have made a good video, wouldn't it, Darla?
Absolutely. You know, when we call up the head demon and we're able to get them to communicate with us, and of course we ask them to tell us what lies they've been telling this person, as well as to look in the storehouse of this person's God-given spiritual gifts. And a couple of the gifts that were listed by these demons, one being resurrecting the dead. And I had never ever even realized that that was actually a spiritual gift that God would give us human beings. You know, I could see maybe God raising someone from the dead. You know, of course, Jesus raised Lazarus. But I'm really excited to see if maybe sometime in the future that if Daniel's able to actually, you know, experience and exercise that spiritual gift. That was an awesome thing to hear, and you know, it just never ceases to amaze me the gifts that God bestows upon us. And you know, just when you think, I mean, I think that just your average gifts of generosity and kindness and, you know, compassion and all of those things are awesome gifts, but to be given the gift of resurrecting the dead is just unimaginable. I think it's just amazing.
Well, the head demon admitted that's why he was trying to block him. So he even had a revival gift and healing gift, laying on of hands gift.
Yes.
And there were several rather spectacular gifts, and that's, of course, why that demon was trying to block all that so he wouldn't go forward. He even tried to take him out several times. I believe he'd had suicide thoughts, the man himself, hadn't he? Didn't he say that?
Yes, I do believe that he had attempted suicide several different times and was obviously unsuccessful because he came to us, you know, the other night. But I'm pretty sure that these demons, you know, and I believe that there was 12 of them that were identified, and amongst them, you know, of course, was hate and bitterness that were specifically identified. Jealousy, I think, was another one. But to have been, like you said, never cast out before and had been just generation after generation after generation in his family, you know, passed down through mothers and fathers to him, it was just crazy, unimaginable. It's just so exciting to be a part of this ministry. I understand that it's very unusual and rare, you know, for Christians to be able to witness something like this, and I feel very, very blessed to be able to be that person that got to witness this firsthand, for sure.
Yes, and you know, as you think about it, this man, how many more are out there just like him? They can
right.
be everywhere around us, and those same demons, they gloat and they laugh and they're so proud of their mission. This one was. They said he was getting points from Satan. You know, and as they are successful in taking a person out, they go up in a higher level. They have levels. So, anyway, that's the way the spirit world is. Most Christians don't have any idea about how the demons are working on us, so trying to block our lives. We all got a long ways to go in telling it and getting the word out, so we'll have more ministry going on like this. Well, we're about to run out of time. Any last comments before we sign off with you, Darla?
No, not really. I thank you for letting me be a part of the show tonight, and I look forward to more of our training, and invite anyone that's able to come to definitely join us on Monday night for experience of a lifetime.
Hey, man, so wonderful to have you with us and going through the training,
yeah,
brother. God bless
that
you.
That was a beautiful testimony, and what you witnessed with Everett the other day. I have witnessed those things, and it definitely lets you realize that this is real. It's real warfare, and no matter how bad and how much they growl and how much they hiss, They don't have a fraction of the power that we have. No.
Absolutely, because we have all the power.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Thank you for joining
us. Good night.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you, darling.
Okay, God bless you guys. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow, someone that dealt with a lot of trauma, just as we were talking about at the beginning of the program, and here she comes on with the testimony that she was able to overcome so much of that in her life. So, praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, we have our other caller on the line. Caller, thank you for joining us.
Shelly.
Thank you for having me. Yes, Shelly.
Yes. Yes, Shelly. Thank you for calling in. Ralph's on here with me. He's up in the Branson area, and we're so excited to have you with us. Why don't you go
thank
ahead,
you.
Shelly, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you heard about deliverance, and then what your deliverance was like. You might share that and changes you've seen, and any other experiences in deliverance. Go right ahead.
Well, when I was 12 or 13 years old, I found Jesus, and I was born again and spirit-filled. And I also went through deliverance when I was younger. And I just felt so free after having that done to me. And when I rededicated my life back to God, I knew I needed that again. So that's when I called Everett Cox Communications. And I went and got prayed for. And it is just, I feel so much peace and so many things. I had such loneliness. I had just such loneliness that came off of me. And I had had a lot of pain from them telling me I had lost two babies, that I'll see my babies in heaven again that I never met. And God has just done so much. I've been through so much depression and so much anxiety. And God has healed me from all that. I went to a mental hospital, and I couldn't get back in, and I didn't understand why. And God told me, I don't need that. All I need is Him, and I don't need a doctor to make me feel better. And I have so much joy and happiness in my life. And having these things prayed out of you will give you so much joy. And it's never, ever too late to get Jesus back in your life. No matter what you do, He's always there to take you back.
Yes, praise God. Well, when you had your ministry, Shelly, what was it like? Did you feel these spirits coming out, or what went on?
Yes, when... a lady, Mary Ann, was who prayed for me. And when she asked the spirit, when she cast out the spirit of loneliness, I just broke down and I cried and I cried because I had been so lonely. My heart has been so empty. And now I have so much joy. I don't have any loneliness anymore. I mean, I have God with me, so I'm not lonely anymore. And I just have so much freedom from all the depression and anxiety. People think these things are normal. This is normal everyday life, and it's not. It's the devil that attacks you, and he's nothing but a liar. So I just praise God that he actually loved me enough that I was that 100 sheep, and he had to leave the 99 to come find me. And I just thank God I can forgive myself, and He forgives me.
Yes. Well, do you remember, how long ago was your, did you have more than one deliverance or just one?
I've had a couple. One was I was younger. And one, I went, and I don't think I was not ready right with God, and so it didn't do. You have to be totally right with God. And you know, within the shadow of a doubt, how your body changes. Your whole mind thinking's changed. Then I went in with a clear mind, and it worked. And I mean, you just don't imagine. It's just like somebody that sits on your shoulders. And when you get delivered from these demons, it like the pressure comes off your shoulders, like you're free. You're free. I mean, I had so much brain fog, and God cleared that. I can finally, for the first time, I'm 53 years old, I can understand the Bible. For the first time, and God shows me people to help, and I have to help them out. He talks to me so much. I'm so thankful that I've been cleared with all these demons that were in me, have cleared my mind. When they got cast out, I could finally see the light for the first time. And I'm so thankful.
Praise God. Yes, we're all so lucky that somebody shared all this with us. Well, did you feel the spirits come out, or did they talk out of you, or how'd that go?
No, they didn't talk out of me, but I did break down and just emotionally cry. I cried. Demons can come out with you in tears. They can come out with blowing your nose.
Sure.
When you cough, you yawn. You're like, you're not even tired, mm-hmm. and you yawn, but that's how God is helping these things come out of you. They can come out in so many ways. I've seen them screaming and everything. I've heard them where they come out and they are cast into the pigs, and their pig noises would come out of people. I've seen it all, and so I believe and I know God. And this deliverance ministry is one of the best ways that you can get your life clear and right with God.
I remember a lady telling me one time that she said, well, it just came out my ear.
Yeah.
And then it'll come out people's hands sometimes. I've had people start shaking their hands and say, it's in my hand, or in my hand, and I'll take the Bible and open it up and close it over their hand, and then it blows out.
Yeah.
And I remember people saying it came out the end of my toes, came out through my boots, they said. Oh, we see a little of everything out the top of the head, you know. A lot of them come right out the top of the head. And when people say it's up on the top of my head, I always take the Bible and put it up there on the top of their head, and sure enough, it blows away. And these spirits, it was mentioned earlier, but the word, the Bible, is really like a sword to them. In fact, there's a scripture, Ephesians 6:17, that says the word is a sword, and that's apparently what it is to these spirits. That's why we touch the Bible a lot on them. So, did your minister touch the Bible on you?
No. She didn't.
Do you remember who worked with you?
It was Mary Ann.
Mary Sue?
But I have seen many deliverances to where they put the word of the Bible on that person, and that demon will scream because it's like agonizing pain, because you're putting the sword of the Lord through that demon, and then they will scream and come out. I've seen that. I know God is real, and I know He delivers people through deliverance.
Yes, I've had them scream out. It's burning even. When you put the Bible on them. So it's a great weapon of warfare that I use a lot, and most of the ministers quite a bit. Well, can you remember some of the names of the other spirits that came out when you had your deliverance?
I've had loneliness. I had sorrow, anxiety, depression, anger, hatred, murder. Oh my goodness. Lord help me figure the words, what I want to say. I felt unloved at times, that I was no good, I was unworthy. But I know that I am worthy because God's blood.
Amen.
He died for me. He died his blood. And he, you put their blood over you when you need protection. I always have God I ask God, please put the Holy Spirit and your blood covering over me to protect me.
Yes. Yeah, one of the lies that they often speak into people's heads, you know, I write down the lies when I get a head demon up that is telling this person, and one of the more common lies is that you're not worthy.
Yes.
Well, we know
yes.
real well by the blood of the Lamb we're worthy, but they try to get the person to buy that lie and other negatives like that. That's their game. And people, when they don't know these negatives that are coming into their head, they think it's themselves thinking it.
Yes.
And when it's actually the enemy pushing this into their head. So,
yes.
Sadly, a certain number of people accept that as the truth, if that's the way they are. Well, they're just yes. lies that can be pushed away. So
that's when depression and all that stuff starts coming in, is when you don't think you're good enough. Or suicide. And suicide has been real bad on me because I lived right for God, and then I went and started living in the world again, and I was doing things I should not do, and I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, acute arthritis. And God, I have lived in chronic pain for 15 years, and since I've rededicated my life back to God and went through deliverance, I am about 90% pain-free. Praise you, God.
Hallelujah.
God has took me out of my torment. He has took me out of this chronic pain that I have lived. I had no light at the end of my tunnel. And since I've been free from all this, I have so much excitement for my future. I have so many people that I have to tell them about God. And I'm just so excited for my life for the first time. I've just been so sad. So sad. And I wanted to die. And God took all that away. And I have so much joy. People look at me now and say, Shelly, you radiate with joy, just your looks. I said, no, it's what's in me. It's Jesus in me that's radiating out because I'm free. I've been set free.
Yes.
Praise God. I don't have any of these demons in me that trying to ruin my life anymore. It's just a powerful thing.
Did your minister do the limb check with you to see if you had a short leg or arm?
Yes, she did. I was good.
Okay. But she probably still prayed over you. And when did your pain seem to recede?
Pardon me?
Was it right there during the deliverance? Your pain left?
No, I had rededicated myself probably about... maybe a few days, and I knew after I did that, it was like I knew that God was working in me, and I said, I've got to get clean. So I started calling Christian friends. Who do you know? Who do you know? And somebody sent me a link, and it was like, are you sad? Are you depressed? And I was like, yes, that's me. That's me. That's me. And I looked, and I said, Cox Communications, I said, I'm going back because I didn't understand. I wasn't right with God last time, but this time I know I was delivered.
Praise God. Now, did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues?
Yes, I did when I was 12 and 13 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I've always prayed in my prayer language. And when I rededicated my life again, it's like my prayer language changed.
Uh-huh.
It's like, I just can't explain the joy and happiness that I have.
You're able to speak in tongues easier now, I imagine, since you're delivered.
Yes, I do it all the time. I get in the car, speaking in tongues, if people don't understand, that is the perfect prayer to God. You don't know what you're praying, but you're praying what you should be praying, and God can understand you. You may not understand yourself, but God knows what you're saying.
Yes, Paul said that, and And that's one of the reasons we want to be able to speak in tongues. And then, of course, we edify ourselves. It's like charging a battery when we pray in tongues. And then I had a demon here a couple of years ago tell me that when we pray in the tongues, it hurts us. It hurts them. Hurts the demons.
Oh.
And
that makes me want to pray in tongues even more demon. Then.
Well, exactly. That particular demon even added this. He was talking about this person. It was a full manifestation, and he was talking out of the. It was actually a pastor, and he was speaking out of the pastor's mouth. The demon was, and it not only said that the tongues hurts them, but then the demon added this. He quit speaking in tongues about 2 weeks, and we had a vacation. The demon said that about the pastor. And the lesson to me was, I'd better be speaking in tongues more than I have been. And I try to speak in tongues some every day just for that very reason. We sure want to hurt them, don't we?
Absolutely. You want to put them back down where they belong. They don't belong in a child of God. They don't. And they need to go. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
But I know now that you told me that, I'm going to be using my prayer language a whole lot more. I mean, I do it a lot anyways, but I guess it's going to have to be more.
Well, yeah, it was a lesson for all of us, and I share that with people. It just goes to show how we need to be speaking in tongues quite a bit. You know, we're all in the war zone here on earth until we go to heaven, so we better use the tools and the weapons that we've been given from the cross so that we can live our lives in an abundant way. And it sounds to me like you're living life abundant now, Shelley.
Yes. It's like the other day I went to the store and there was an older man in a wheelchair with one leg, and I kept turning to look at him, and God said, see if he needs help. And I was like, God, I don't know the guy. And he's like, asking if he needs help. I went up to the man and I said, do you need help? He goes, no, I'm just getting groceries. He goes, but you could help me. He goes, do you have just a little bit of spare change? And I gave him, I said, I will give you every penny of change I have. And he's like, God bless you. You have no idea how that blessed him, to help him. And then I prayed, God, please don't let him buy alcohol. God has been using me so much, and it's like I'm just loving every bit of it.
Yes. It's what I call high adventure, Shelley. High adventure. It's what I find myself in compared to my business. I was the CEO of a mortgage banking company for 26 years and in the mortgage banking business for 40, and I can tell you what, I'm in high adventure now. The fulfillment
it's
is
excitement.
Here, not in the other.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
I have. I mean, from the time I wake up, I have so much joy, and I, all I talk about now is Jesus to everybody. And it's like I look at people in the eyes when I go to the store, and if they eye me, I'll say, "How are you doing? Have a blessed day." And you know, there's so many sad, sad people that are so bombarded by demons, they can't look at you in the eyes, they don't have any smile in them, and it's like, that was me like 2 weeks ago, and then look at me now, I'm giving my testimony, you know, and I told God, whatever you do to me, let me give my testimony, and then you called me, and out of the blue, and said, I would love you to give my testimony. I said, oh my God, you really took me serious, Lord. All right, if that's what you want, that's what I'm going to do. And I've been praying all day for today. But I thank you. This
God.
Is the first time I've ever had a chance to ever just give my testimony and share what God has done for me.
Well, you have done a great job, and you're so energized and excited that it's been a pleasure to have you with us tonight, and we are out of time, Shelley. So God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing
that. God bless you,
too.
You. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I mean, that was heartfelt. you could just hear the emotion, the joy, the sincerity. I mean, that was not just some made-up Hallmark testimony. That was a true, heartfelt Holy Spirit testimony. And
yes,
you can just tell the change in her. You can tell just by how much joy she has. And
oh, amen. I'm fired up from just hearing her talk.
Yeah, I am too. Both of them. I just had a smile on my face.
Yeah.
Both ladies that are,
amen,
their lives are transformed. And she said it perfect. You can see it in people's eyes.
Yeah.
She is right. You can walk and you can see the oppression that's upon our people and this nation.
Yeah.
And you just want to help everybody. And
so few. So few get the Jesus, yes, overhaul that's available to them.
Yes. And it's just a fantastic testimony on both parts. I'm just thankful for the ladies that came on. And just praise God. Praise God.
Awesome.
Again,
awesome show.
It is an awesome. This is one of the better ones. I mean, they're all awesome. This is a good one. We do thank you for joining us again this evening. If you have any questions about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. I believe we ask a $20 offering for that. We do thank you all for joining us this evening. We do really appreciate you taking time to spend with us. And Pastor, as always, it's a pleasure. Good night, and God bless everybody.
Yes, God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.